Last week, we began to think about our journey as believers through the Badlands. And we saw that because the danger in the Badlands is real, preparation is absolutely vital. Preparation for Israel was vital, and for us as believers, preparation will be vital. For the harsh reality is that unprepared, neither Israel nor we as believers will stand in the evil day. And this morning, we need to see what that preparation is, what preparation God has made, what preparation he made for Israel, and what preparation he makes for us as believers in the Badlands. First of all, let's think a little bit about Israel's high priestly blessing. God calls Aaron aside and says to him, I want you to put your grease gun and your torque spanner down for a little while. Let your wagons be. You'll be off soon enough. You'll be underway soon enough. You'll be moving out soon enough. But first and most importantly, sit down for a moment, Aaron. Come and learn to bless the people. For if you really want to prepare Israel for the journey through the Badlands, then above all else, this is what you must do. You must bless them, Aaron. So that as they face the terrors of the Badlands, their hearts and imaginations are engaged. They begin to sense in their very souls what a great and glorious thing it is to be blessed by God. And so Aaron blesses the nation. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. The blessing consists, as you see, of three elements and a consequence. First of all, says Aaron to Israel, the Lord bless you and keep you. Out there awaiting Israel is a waste, howling wilderness. Bitter enemies lying in wait for them. Lying in the sand, a skeleton or two, bleached with the sun, picked clean by the jackals. No food, no water, no shelter. Imagine starting on such a journey. Imagine starting on such a journey alone. Without a sense of God's blessing in your heart. Without a sense of that glorious security through faith which comes from God and from his word. So says God to Aaron, before taking one step, make them sit down. Speak to the nation and bless them. For the blessing will assure them that though they will find the way difficult and dangerous, though there will be lack of food and water, though there will be enemies bigger, stronger than they are by far on every side, they are blessed by God. God, Jehovah, will preserve them in every situation and circumstance. So Aaron, as you send the nation out to face life in the Badlands with all its dangers, send them out with a sense of unshakable confidence and security based on the blessings of God which you have given them. That in every situation, in every circumstance, God will keep them in perfect peace and security. The Lord bless you, said Aaron, and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Israelites were ordinary people. They spoke an ordinary language. So when God speaks to them, he speaks to them in a language they will understand. We know God doesn't have a face. But he speaks in a way that Israel will understand and make sense of. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The idea of shine is to light up. And we know what we mean when we talk about a person's face lighting up. You know, when a husband gives his wife a bottle of her favourite perfume, Flower Bomb or Chanel. You see, I know these things. We know what it is to see the lady's face lighting up. And God says to Aaron, as Israel prepares to face the Badlands, take care to assure them that when Israel stands before me, such is the pleasure I find in their coming, such is the joy I find in their fellowship, that my face lights up at their coming. Yes, Israel will sin and fail. They'll fall short of my standards again and again, but such is my delight. Tell them such is my delight at their coming, such is my delight at their fellowship, that even when they fail, let them only repent and I will welcome them back again to me once more. Tell them, Aaron, that such is the magnificent grace of God that I will always be willing to forgive repentant Israel, to welcome them back into fellowship, to renew my delight in them. And then the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The idea of lifting up the face is the opposite of putting the face round or down. You see, in the ancient world, if I spoke to you to make a request, if you didn't look at me as I spoke, I knew I had not gained my point. My request had not been granted. But if you looked at me when I spoke, if you lifted up your face upon me, I knew my request was granted. So says God through his high priest, in the Badlands, Israel, there will be times of great trial and difficulty. And in those trials of, in those times of extreme hardship, Israel will come to God. They will ask for help. They will ask God to shed light on their way. And sometimes it might seem that God wasn't listening, that God's face was down, that he had not lifted up his face to them. For things would get no better. Indeed, things could even get worse. But at such times, in such situations, the pain and circumstance of increased greatly by the puzzlement and confusion of heart and mind. When we cry to ask God why these things have happened, and there's no answer, the suffering of the situation is made worse by the lack of an answer. And God says to Aaron, you tell Israel that no matter how it may seem, even if I seem to be silent, even if I appear not to answer, that is most surely not the case. For my face is lifted up upon them ever and always. I do hear. I will answer for their good in my way and in my time. So that in every circumstance, Aaron, you tell them that though the contrary may seem to be the case, my face is lifted up and they can have peace. So those are the three elements of the blessing. And now we've got to think of the consequence. Says God, you may walk through the Badlands. You will. You'll be surrounded by enemies. You may well find it impossible to find your way at times, but you will never be defeated or get lost, for they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Even if it may seem from time to time that you are defeated, even if it may seem that you have lost your way, you will not stay defeated. You will not stay lost, for my name is on you. You will always know to whom you belong. You will always know where your home is, for you will be constantly and eternally blessed. Thus did Aaron bless the nation. And what of us as believers? What of our high priestly blessing as we stand on the edge of the Badlands, as we make our journey through the Badlands? The believer, as he enters the Badlands, does not enter alone. Like Israel, the believer has a high priest who has been sent to bless him. And our high priest is our blessed Lord. Hebrews 2 talks about Christ becoming a merciful and faithful high priest. Chapter 4 of Hebrews says that we have a high priest who is able to sympathize with us. So we believers may take comfort and confidence from the fact that we don't go into the Badlands alone, but we have the constant presence and help and blessing of our great high priest. And says God to Jesus Christ, our great high priest, "My people, my sons, my daughters will sooner or later enter the Badlands. And as they face the terror of the Badlands, you must talk to them and you must bless them. So that as they walk, their hearts and imaginations will be engaged. So that they begin to sense the very in their very souls what a great and glorious thing it is to be blessed by God." So our high priest pronounces his blessings upon us. Can't you hear him? As we stand on the threshold of the Badlands, as we make our journey through that difficult and dangerous place, listen to his voice. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall you put my name upon my people, and I will bless them." Our high priest speaks to us. He blesses us to prepare us for the hardships that await us. But how can he know the dangers that lie ahead for you and I? How can he know what we need? He knows because he has passed that way before us. There is no experience which we will face in the Badlands that he has not already faced. He knows exactly what we will need. He knows exactly what will be required for us to survive safely in all the experiences that await us. Hebrews 4 says that in every point, he has been tempted as we have been. Hebrews 4 again, Hebrews 5, that he himself was beset with weaknesses. He knows what it's like when the world unleashes the full force of its opposition against us. He knows what it is to cry for answers. "Father, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He knows what it is to have his heart broken by the Badlands. "My soul," he said, "is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." In the days of his flesh, he offered up prayers with strong crying and tears. He knows what it is to walk through the Badlands. He is fit to be our high priest, for he has walked that way before us and has won the victory. He has made a way through to that glorious inheritance to which we make our way. "The Lord bless you and keep you." Aaron blessed Israel that day on the threshold of the Badlands, and his words opened Israel's eyes as never before to the blessings of God. The blessings of God that keeps his people safe in every circumstance. I wish I could do that for you, as Aaron did for Israel. I wish I could open your eyes to see the blessings of God resting upon you, to see the safety and security that comes from being kept under the blessing of God. No enemy can harm you. No foe can breach your defense. I wish I could do it, but I can't. But then it's not my job to do so, for you have a high priest who blesses you with every spiritual blessing. Say, do the Badlands grind you down? Is that your experience? Then stand still for a while. Lean your elbows on the windowsill of heaven and let your high priest deluge you with the wonder of God's salvation, with the amazing fact of your eternal security, of your absolute safety in your Father's hands, and your sonship in the family of God. If only we could do it. What a sense of peace and security and confidence and courage would flood our souls. I am blessed by Almighty God. I am kept safe and secure by his sovereign power, now and always, every step of the way, till the very end, no matter what. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. I wish I could open your eyes to see the face of Almighty God shining upon you at this moment. The face of the God of heaven lighting up with pleasure when you come into his presence. The reality of the joy which God finds in your fellowship with him. If I could do it, if you could see it, how the amazing, majestic grace of God would be exalted as a result. As we come to understand what the grace of God can do for old rebel sinners, how it can transform them into saints who delight the heart of Almighty God by their coming. I can't do it. I can't open your eyes to the wonder of God's face shining upon you. I can't do it. But you have a high priest, and he can. Will you let him? Will you let him open your eyes to the glory and the wonder of it all? Right now, even in the Badlands. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. When the Badlands surround you on your journey to your heavenly inheritance, it will often be the case, and we found it so, that when we pray, when we are uncertain, undecided, when we seek for guidance, when we're unsure which way to turn, what to do, when we desperately need answers and protection and guidance, the answers you so desperately need don't come. God doesn't seem to listen. He seems to have turned his face away. And the puzzlement and pain of your suffering on the journey through the Badlands is made so much worse by the feeling that your heavenly Father, who is supposed to love you, who is supposed to care for you and protect you, is silent. And he seems to have abandoned you utterly to your fate. In those days, at those moments in the Badlands, when you feel the sharp arrows of disappointment, when you feel betrayed by your heavenly Father, just when you needed him most, it's just then that we really need to listen to the voice of our high priest as he assures us that no matter how things appear, God's face is turned towards you. He has lifted up his countenance upon you. He ever watches over you every tick of the clock. And so you can have peace in the Badlands. Says Isaiah, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. They will put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. It will surely be that in the Badlands from time to time, the believer will find his way dark and difficult. He will feel he is in danger of losing his way, of getting lost in the trackless desert that is this world, of forgetting where his home is, forgetting who his father is. And it is just at such time the believer needs to be reminded that he belongs to the God of heaven, that he bears his name, that he can never be lost, that he will never lose his way. Let's listen to the voice of our great high priest again as he assures us that these things are so. John 17, we listen to our high priest as he reminds us that we belong to him. The people, he says, the people whom you gave me out of this world, yours they are, and you gave them to me, they're mine. Listen again in the Revelation as he tells us that he has put his name on us. Chapter 3, I will write upon him the name of my God. Chapter 22, his name shall be upon their foreheads. Listen again in the Gospel of John as he tells us that because we belong to him, because we bear his name, we can never be lost. No matter how dark the way, no matter how trackless this your journey through the Badlands may be, you can never be lost. I have guarded them, says Christ, John 17, and not one of them has been lost. The word that he had spoken of those whom you gave me, I have not lost one. Do you fear that you'll lose your way? Do you fear you'll never get home safe? His name is on you. You belong to him. He will not lose you. What an immense, immeasurable blessing it is to know we belong to Christ, to know we bear his name, to know we can never be lost, to know we will get safe home. How blessed we are. And in the Badlands, they hold no terror for those who are blessed by the sovereign God. But Matthew 6, number 6, God says to Moses, you shall bless the children of Israel. And when you bless them, when you have finished blessing them, says God, then I will bless them. It's your God-given responsibility to bless them. But when you have blessed them, when you have given them all the blessings you can give them, then I'll bless them as well. So it is with the believer. Our blessed Lord, who is our great high priest, blesses us as believers. And God the Father then adds his blessing thereto. And you read something of the blessing of God upon us in Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 8. Now, I haven't time this morning to talk about that blessing. Let me just point one or two phrases out to you from that blessing. You know the verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. This is, Christ has blessed us. Now God adds his blessing. And the extent of God's blessing, every spiritual blessing. The blessing of God upon you and I as we walk through the Badlands, which we possess, is no beggarly thing. It's no mean bounty of a miserly God. He has given us every spiritual blessing. Everything that our God and Father could have given us, he has given us. He has held nothing back from us that he could bestow. Think of the timing of the blessing. Has blessed us. The spiritual blessing of God is not something that we must wait for till some time in the future. It's not something that we receive part of it now, but the best part of it is reserved till we get home to our inheritance. Not at all. God has already given us every spiritual blessing. We already possess all of them now in this life. We already possess every spiritual blessing there is. There is none that we do not possess. There is none for which we will have to wait. There will be no spiritual blessings awaiting us in heaven, which we will receive there for the first time. We have now, in the midst of the Badlands, we now have all the spiritual blessings that we are ever going to have. Yes, of course, there will be blessings awaiting us. The blessing of deliverance from the presence of sin. The blessing of deliverance from physical sickness and death, from sorrow and suffering and crying. Those blessings await us. But the spiritual blessings that the writer has in mind in Ephesians 1, you have them now. You're in the Badlands. You're finding things difficult. God has given you everything you need. And since God has already given them to us, since we already possess them, how very wise we would be to enter into the good of them. We have them. Use them. Lean on them. Stand on them. Enjoy them in all their fullness now. I tell you, your experience of the Badlands will be utterly transformed if you do. The sphere of the blessing in heavenly places. If our blessings are in heavenly places, that gives us two further blessings, a new access and a complete security. If my blessings are now with Christ in heavenly places, and if I have possession of those blessings now, then it follows that though I dwell on earth, I have entrance into heaven now. As I walk through the Badlands, I have access, immediate access to heaven. So that in a very real sense, I am a citizen of two countries. I live in the Badlands, but I am a citizen of heaven. Paul says it, doesn't he? Our citizenship isn't. Don't get taken up with the Badlands. We're citizens of glory now. And secondly, the forces of Satan and of evil are on earth. They are at work in the Badlands, but our spiritual blessings are in heavenly places. And since that is so, my blessings are secure. Your blessings are secure. Sin and evil can't reach them to spoil them. Peter says this, doesn't he, in the first chapter of his book. He says, our inheritance is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, because it's kept in heaven. The logical priority of the blessing before the foundation of the world. Since God determined to give these heavenly blessings to you before the foundation of the world, then logically, before God determined to make the world, he already had you in mind. Our planet Earth, revolving it as it does around the sun, up our little corner of the Milky Way galaxy, was only the second thing that God thought about. The first thing that came into God's mind was you. Let me illustrate, because it's important to understand this. Let me illustrate the principle of logical priority. Your wife one day comes and asks you to buy a new cooker. And she keeps at you day after day after day. And last you give. You know how it works. At last you give. And I've been subject to this already this morning. At last you give in. And one day you go into the kitchen. And there is your wife busily engaged working at her new cooker. All clocks and dials and buzzers and bells. And everything in the oven is bubbling and boiling nicely. And you say to your wife, what on earth are you doing? And she says, I'm baking a cake. You say, why? She says, well, don't you remember that it's our Mary Ann's birthday in 2 weeks? And she's got to have a grand cake. And then you understand why the purchase of the cooker was so important a few weeks back. But notice your wife's thought process. The very first thing your wife thought of was Mary Ann's birthday. Then she thought of the cake. And the last thing she thought of was the oven. But the last thing she thought of the oven was the first thing she did. And so it was with God. The very first thing God thought of was you. The last thing he thought of was the world. And the last thing he thought of, the world, was the first thing that happened. But we need to understand that though the earth was made first, God thought of it last. It wasn't the vast universe that mattered to God. It was only the means to an end. What really matters to God is you. The universe was simply the means to an end. The end was you. What magnificent dignity that gives you. Yes, you're in the Badlands. Yes, you find the way difficult and dangerous, but the thing that really matters to God, the thing that thrills the heart of the triune God is you. Do you understand that? That the only thing that really matters to God is you. And he's on the edge of his seat watching your journey. And his face is lifted up upon you. Get a grip of it. Let's get a hold of the wonder of it. And if you do, everything will change. Lastly, the recipients of the blessing. God proposes to bless sons. Now, if God has decided to bless sons, he said, I'm going to bless my sons with every spiritual blessing. And if God is going to bless sons, the question is, where does he get sons from? God made the whole universe by a word of command. But you can't make sons like that. You can't just issue a word of command and make sons. Sons come into existence when God puts the proposal to his creatures that they should be sons. And then the son responds and accepts the offer of God. Because sons are born, not made. So the coming into being of sons and the blessing of sons with every spiritual blessing went like this. First, God had a plan to have sons and to bless those sons with every spiritual blessing. Next, he decides to make human beings as creatures to whom his proposal of sonship can be put. Next, he makes a world where those creatures that he has made can live. Then he puts his proposal to his creatures that they should become sons. And to those creatures who accept his proposal, he makes them sons and he blesses them with every spiritual blessing. So we see that the last thing God does is the very first thing he thought of. All that lay between the creation of the world, the creation of creatures, all that lay between were simply means to an end. Vitally important, yes, but only a means to an end. For God's great purpose and end was to have you as his son. We can be so overwhelmed with the difficulties of the Badlands that we miss the glory of who we are. We are the children of God. We are the delight of God's heart. God's eyes are upon us. He rejoices in us. He longs for our fellowship. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will never abandon us. We matter to him most of all. Lift your eyes up. Look to him. Forget the Badlands. Forget the difficulty. Look to him. And know what it is to walk through this life with the smile of Almighty God upon us. We're his children. Let's enjoy it. Let's not bow down and be broken. We're his. He is our God. Let's pray.